I don't know about if it seems this way to you, but I think that in our culture, Pentecost is kind of a second-tier holiday, maybe third or fourth. I didn't see any greeting card sections in the store that said with Happy Pentecost cards. Stores weren't decorated all over with Pentecost doves. We don't have a lot of Pentecost songs playing on the radio. Don't even really have a really good mascot for Pentecost. Nothing that works quite like Santa. I don't think it really works to say to our kids, if you're good, the Pentecost dove will send you fiery tongues. I'm not sure if that would be an effective strategy for parenting. On the bright side, Pentecost has not been diluted by all of the cultural stuff that surrounds so many of our other holidays. We get to celebrate it in the church as kind of this pure, undefiled day where we can focus on what the scriptures tell us about Pentecost. And on Pentecost, we experience and see the church in its most pure and undefiled form. We see that the formula for the church is really very simple. It's kind of like that science project everyone did when they were in school, you know, baking soda plus vinegar equals this really cool volcano that erupts. Very simple science experiment. I think that's why everyone did it. The church is like that. Very simple. The Spirit plus people produces this eruption of repentance and transformation and joy. Becomes this missional force in the world. Spirit plus the people who follow and know the risen Christ. This morning, I just want to look for a moment at what this Pentecost picture shows us about what the church is and who we are as we sit here celebrating Pentecost together. And that requires us to begin in the scriptures just looking for a moment at the church of Pentecost. And we ask the question, what is it? And we see that what it's not is a social club, another community service organization. It's not a retailer of spiritual goods and services. What it is very simple. The ingredients of the church are a community and the Spirit dwelling amidst them, moving amidst the people, empowering the people, giving the people words to speak. The church requires nothing else. It does not require a building. It does not require a budget. It does not require an organ or a guitar or a piano. It doesn't require a pastor standing up before you with paraments and stoles and paraments all over. It doesn't require dresses and ties. The church is the community plus the Spirit. And we must always, always remember that. That's what the church of Pentecost is. And then we see when these two things mix in Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they preach the gospel and people hear it and they say, what should we do? And they're told to repent and believe the good news and be baptized and to be saved from this corrupt generation. When these two things mix, it kind of erupts into what the church does. And I have to admit to you that this may seem anticlimactic, but what the church does is found in verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. The church, when the Spirit meets the community, is a learning, sharing, eating, praying community. It is learning in the sense that they devoted themselves, we're told, to the apostles' teaching. Peter and the other people who had been with Jesus have to explain now more about who this Jesus is and what it means to follow him. And they devote themselves to that. And the verb for devote is a word that means patient, endurance, persistence, a daily type of thing. That they were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, we may not have apostles among us, so to speak, but we do have their teaching. Because what they were teaching on was what we call the Old Testament. And how they taught it is what we call the New Testament. We have the apostles' teaching with us. And when the Spirit and the community mix, we are called to devote ourselves to that teaching in the Scriptures. It gives us a God's eye view of reality and of our lives. They're a sharing community. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. And that word fellowship is drawn out in verse 44 and 45. It says, all who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. This is a community of people for whom the community is more important than the self. If you ask the early church, where is God working? They wouldn't have said in me or in that person or in any individual disciple who follows Jesus. They would have said, the Spirit of God, we can see the presence of God at work in the community, gathered, working as one. Yes, they would have gone on maybe to say that, yeah, the Spirit indwells in each of us individually. But they said, if you want to see God most clearly, you look at the church. You look at the community. And that is what compels the people to give everything for the sake of the community and so that the community can meet the needs of the people. They're a sharing community. They're also an eating community. Verse 46, it says, day by day they spent much time together in the temple, and they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts. And I think this is a significant thing, not just because they ate the food. It's not really about the food, although food kind of greases the wheels of community, I think, sometimes. This picture is of them eating together, sharing meals. This is not a private kind of faith. They gather in the temple and worship together, but they don't all go back to their homes and just spend the rest of the week on their own. They share life together. At the table, we share our stories. We discuss what's important to us. We go down deeper. There is intimacy when we share meals together. And that's what the early church does. And fourth, they are a praying community. They devoted themselves to the prayers. And praying, I am sure that they prayed for people's health concerns and needs and things of that nature. And they were seeing physical healings going on. But they were praying more than that. And their prayers show us more than that. More than just a last-ditch wish for God's healing. It shows a deep dependence on God. Trust that it is God alone who will bring this community success. This is not, the picture we see in Acts 2 is not a programmatic church. What are the programs we can come up with? It is a church that prays. And that says, we are dependent on you, God, and you alone, for our success. That is what the church does when spirit and community combine. Learns, it shares, it eats, and it prays. And then we see the fruit that it bears. What kind of fruit does it bear? Well, I'll skip over verse 41, because we might say, oh, well, that was Pentecost, and there was 3,000 people were added, and that was just kind of a Pentecost thing. In verse 47, then, it says, and day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. All of the things the disciples did, they weren't saying, how can we be attractive to people? They were connecting with the Spirit, and that makes them attractive to people. Day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the church of Pentecost. And now I want to shift gears to think about our church, our congregation. And I open this up for discussion, so you can respond. And if you respond, I'm just going to repeat it so we have it on the recording so I can go back later. The question at hand is, what are your thoughts on the condition of this community, of this church, of this congregation? What do you think? How are we doing? Where are we as a community, as a church? And we can take a minute to think. Jerry? Okay. I'm sorry.
More younger people.
So we're not seeing that right now, and that's something we need. Drawing more younger people. That's what Jerry said. Other thoughts on the condition of this community? Rick? So there is, you feel caring. This is a caring community in a lot of ways.
Also a devout community.
Devout community? Okay. I'm sorry, I meant to repeat that. Devout community, people individually are devoted. So. Kathy? We support other missions and ministries. You'd like to see our numbers grow.
The aging community.
A tired community. Kitty. Okay, so a ministry like the prayer shawls has kind of declined and faded a little bit. And I think maybe that goes along with some of the tired that you mentioned.
John, I think that we are a church. There are individuals in this church that really are hungry to continue to pursue their relationship with God. There are people here.
Yeah. So Kerr says there are people in this community that really do want to pursue their relationship with God. Ellen.
We seem to have the same people doing a job from year to year to year. We need to get other people involved. You can't go on for 20, 30 years with a job.
Okay, so we have the same people who are kind of doing the same job for long periods of time. Okay. Back to tired again. Yeah.
As I said to you the last time we discussed about the church, the mentor program that I was once on the receiving end of that, I love to bring that back.
Right. Mentor program for newer people and just in general.
Yeah, so, thing that ever happened.
Like being able to connect maybe to one another and connect to families and people in the church.
The Wildlands were our mentors when we were brand new here, and you know, somebody to tell the goings on of the church and what we do and how we go about it.
Okay.
Guidance.
Okay. And a need for that again or more or.
Yeah.
I'll just sum that up, that we seem to be struggling in some ways financially to keep up month after month, year after year. Okay. Other thoughts? Jenny?
I think along with all of that, just sum it up, is tired of these people. We need new enthusiasm in this church. As a community, we've lost our enthusiasm.
Okay. Lost our enthusiasm and need enthusiasm. I think coming back, we keep coming back to that tired idea, I feel like. And I think I think all of these are any other. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut off, Lori.
I think we don't give ourselves credit for the good things that we do in this community of faith, and we tend to focus on dwindling numbers, and that makes us anxious.
Okay, so we're focused on some of the dwindling, declining stuff, and that's anxiety provoking.
John, one more. I think that we are a church that is honest about our flaws, and I don't believe that we're a critical or judgmental church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are very positive.
Okay, so not critical and judgmental, and a church that's honest about our flaws, as we see right now. I want to just jump on a couple of those and just look at some really concrete factors that we might look at as we look at Acts 2 and as we look at us. And you know, some of that tiredness, the enthusiasm, but also some of the good things. At the same time, if you looked, you know, maybe over a 20-year period, you'd see declining membership numbers, you see declining attendance. We have leaders who feel burnt out and tired, struggle to get people on boards. You know, lots of open holes in leadership, people who don't want to be on leadership. If you look at our youth program and children ministry, we are, you know, struggle to have a couple of people every week. And I think all of that does show a trend along with some of the really good positive things and people who do want to be, who are seeking and pursuing growth. And I'm going to come back to that later. But I think if we just look at the church as a whole, you paint an accurate picture. A declining church. And if we had to pick, are we growing or are we dying? If we had to pick between those, I think you'd have to say dying, or on that path at least. And we're not alone in this. As a matter of fact, there are churches all over who are in a very similar situation, churches who have closed or gone various other routes, and particularly in the mainline church, which the United Church of Christ is a part of. This is common. And the question I hear on people, leaders' minds, in meetings, and just going around, is how do we save the church? Have you ever asked that question? Have you ever thought about that? How do we save the church? Two weeks ago, we had a council meeting, and that was a question that I started thinking about, not started, but was thinking about afterwards. And it was a difficult, some just tough conversation, good conversation, but tough conversation. And I was thinking about that question that I hear a lot, you know, how do we save the church? And as I was leaving the meeting, or maybe the next day, I remember I was in the car at least, it all blends together. I feel like God impressed something on me, a scripture, a principle that Jesus teaches, a phrase that he uses. And it's found in every gospel. You might call this the Jesus principle, for being a follower of Jesus, perhaps. You find it in Matthew 16, Mark 8, Luke 9, and John 12, and you can see it. Getting used to the new place for the projector. You can see it right up here. And think about this question, how do we save the church? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. How does that change the question? How do we save the church? What does Jesus say about our efforts to save our lives? We lose it. And Jesus ultimately led the way in this. Jesus was more than willing to lose his life, knowing that through the cross was resurrection. And he told us to follow him. And if you remember that verse that was printed in the bulletin a few weeks ago, Galatians 2, 19 and 20, I have been crucified with Christ. I have died. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Death must happen for resurrection. I think on Memorial Day, we're maybe even more aware that great things often require great sacrifice in this principle. What does that mean? I think it means that if we love Point Place United Church of Christ, if you love this community, if you love this church, we must not try to save Point Place United Church of Christ. As Jesus says, that is the surest way to lose something in God's kingdom, is to put our efforts into saving it. We must not try to become who we used to be. We must not insist on doing things the way we used to do them. We must not cling to the structures and the traditions that we're comfortable with. And we must not even think that we simply need to find or add the right program, and that will save the church. What we need is to be and recover and find a connection as a community to the Spirit. Because life and the church, the early church, comes on the Spirit's terms, not ours. I think that's what it means to die, be willing to die, to have God save our lives. To say, God, I am putting to death my own desires and ideas and allowing you to bring what you want to bring here. And that, I think, is the most scary thing. That we don't get to say, Holy Spirit, come and bring life to this community, and I want it to look like this. We don't get to say that. We have to die to that. Pentecost did not happen because the disciples had this great idea. Pentecost happened because God sent His Spirit to this community of people who had no idea what to do and no preconceived notions of what they were supposed to do as followers of Jesus. And God decided to guide, to give them words to speak, to give them things to do. New life in the church begins with letting go our ideas and control of the future and connecting instead with the Spirit. And I know some of you are thinking, we got this young pastor, he's going to tell us to throw all our traditions in the trash. And that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that we have to let go of the traditions. And if they are valuable, if they are significant, if they are essential to this community, then we will let the Spirit show us that and bring them back. But we do not cling to them because they are comfortable or because we like them. And I do the same thing because I have plenty of ideas about the church and what we should or shouldn't be. And what I have to do is let go of those things and seek the Spirit and ask which of those ideas are His idea and which are just mine and my ideals. All of this brings us back to Pentecost and to that formula. The church is the Spirit plus the people. Spirit plus people equals this eruption of joy and transformation and mission that has reached from Jerusalem to Point Place in the last 2,000 years. That equation, that formula, helps us to see that we are not dying because of anything in the culture. We're not dying because of any outward circumstance, because those things aren't a part of the formula, are they? Churches die because something has in some way blocked people from Spirit. In the early church, their desire above all things was to connect with the Spirit. That's what they do. The apostles' teaching, sharing with one another, being generous, prizing the community, eating together, praying. These are things that don't say, how do we save the church? These are things that say, how do we connect with the Spirit? And if we say we want to save the church, but we don't really want the disruptive, undomesticated Spirit coming in and doing what God wants, then we are destined to lose the very thing we want to save. So I'm not up here asking you to change. I'm saying we, as a community, need to change. And that may even start with me changing. And we have to be willing to go through that process. When I came to this church, I knew that if you looked at it from the outside and if you categorized the church, that this was a dying congregation. When I came into the United Church of Christ, I knew that as a denomination, that was the trend. And I will say, for 2 years here, it has been one of my great joys to listen and to observe the points where people and parts of this community are connected with the Spirit, and to see those glimmers of life. It began with the search committee and some of the people there. I saw the life there. I saw a connection to the Spirit, and I see it in so many different places in this community, and that is a joy. But I will say that even dying people have signs of life until the very end. And despite the signs of life that we have all over here, the congregation is slowly dying. And some of you, you didn't make me be the bad guy today, because you guys were very honest and aware in our time of sharing, so I appreciate that. But some of you might be shocked or saddened or angry by me saying those words, that this is a dying church right now. And I'm okay with that. I just ask two things of you. First, to ask yourself, is it true? Is that where we really are as a congregation? And second, please do not tune me out for these last words that I'm about to say. Because I truly believe that God moved this message and this scripture into my heart to share with you on Pentecost. We have spent the Easter season looking at how God brings life from death. That is what God does. And today we see a community that is dynamically, incredibly altered by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we see the impossible things that the Spirit makes possible. I do not believe, while we are a dying congregation, I do not believe that death is our signed and sealed destiny. And I don't believe that God called me here to be your hospice chaplain, to read you your last rites on your deathbed. I believe that the Spirit has power. I believe that God brings life from death. And we'll talk more about what that means next week and in the future. More practically, probably next week. But I want you to know I'm here with you, and I want with all I have to see this community connect in deeper ways with the Spirit and understand the gospel of Jesus in deeper ways and to become that missional, joyful, transforming force in this community, because there are so many people who need it all around us. And the question that we simply have to ask is it worth it to let that untamable Spirit in, into our hearts, into our community? And do we trust that God has something better for us? Let's pray. King Jesus, send your Spirit and power to us. keep us from resisting. Do what you will with us. That is all we can say. Amen.